Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to the investors' conference call of WSFX Global Pay Limited, formerly known as Wall Street Finance Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Material and information in this conference call is general background about the company's activities as of the date of this presentation. Information in this presentation should not be considered as advice or a recommendation to investors or potential investors in relation to holding, purchasing or selling securities and does not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation or needs. This information is given in summary form and does not purport to be complete. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sri Krishna Narasimhan, CEO and Whole Time Director, and Ms. Pooja Mishra, Chief Financial Officer. Thank you and over to you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Vivek. Good evening, everyone. This is Sri Krishna here, CEO of the company, along with Pooja Mishra, CFO of the company. And it's a great pleasure to connect once again with our investors and present WSFX business updates for the quarter and also the overall strategic direction the company is taking. So I'll start with a small presentation of the company. We have already uploaded the presentation on the company's website as well as the BSE website. Now over to the presentation. In the first slide, we give a brief about the company, what its activity is and what we are doing. So today, we are proud to say Wall Street, Wall Street Global Pay is a regulated fintech. We are an RBI authorized AD category 2. We are a 30 plus years old company. We are listed in BSE. We are also an ISO 27001 certified company. From a product perspective, we deal in foreign currency, prepaid forex cards, and cross-border remittance services, which we do in association with a number of leading banks of India, banks like Yes Bank, ICICI, HDFC, IDFC, etc. We have a network of around 19 branches across India, and we have a 300 plus strong team. From a digital perspective, we go to the next slide where we talk a little bit about the digital solutions which we have. Over the last 4 or 5 years, we have taken a conscious and strategic direction towards digital, and we have built platforms for all segments of our customers. So we have a platform for our corporate customers, we have a platform for our agent partners, we have a platform for our retail customers. So today you can say nearly 40 to 45% of the company's business gets routed through the platform and through various automations which the company has done with their agent partners. We also have our BIN sponsored card called WSFX Smart Currency Card, which is a collaboration between WSFX, Yes Bank and Visa. And we are happy to say it has found great acceptance, and we are doing good volumes in this card product. So now we go to the next slide where we talk of Q3 highlights. So in general, after high season of Q2 is generally high season for us because Q2 is big in terms of students. You know, maximum people undertake their trip, pay their fees and go during the Q2. Q3, we generally face a drop. Even in RBI LRS statistics, you would have seen a drop in LRS remittance in November. But overall, we could say that we were profitable in Q3, which is generally a lean season for us. There are also factors like increase in TCS rates, where TCS rates went from 5% to 20%. There are also Canadian visa issues, which resulted in delays in people getting visas to Canada. But overall, despite all these things, we were able to have a profitable Q3. So if you see from an overall revenues perspective, our growth was 53% over the previous year's Q3. So this year, the revenue from, now we quickly get into Q3 numbers. Revenue from operations, we did 17.18 crores. For the year, it was 51.91 crores. Other income was 43.83. For the year, it was 1.34 crores. For the Q3, we did a PBT, profit before tax, of 56.66. And for the year, we have closed at 3.12 CR. So you can see there's been a significant growth over the previous year, both in terms of the quarter and for the 9 months period. From a digital perspective, we have now 27,500 plus app users who have linked their cards, who also transact cross remittances through the app. We also have multiple applications, as I earlier informed, for our various business segments. And we are seeing a gradual increase in adoption and usage of these platforms and application. One of the most exciting developments which has come about is from the regulatory framework. There has been a draft framework of for review of authorization under FEMA released by RBA, where it talks about scope of AD2, increase in scope of AD2. Now there is going to be a new category of player called Forex correspondent, which will be similar to a banking correspondent. A Forex correspondent will be a correspondent. Correspondent for the bank or the AD2, who will be allowed to do foreign exchange transactions. There is also perpetual authorization, wherein we don't have to go for renewal of license every 1 year or 3 years. And also there is a proposal to allow trade remittance up to 15 lakhs for AD2. Now, FFMC, which is a category, have to compulsorily convert to AD2 or FXCs once their license, current license gets over. This regulatory changes may be coming in the next couple of months, where we see a great opportunity for us, both in terms of the increase in scope. For the first time, we can look at trade remittance as a category. Second is in terms of expansion through this FXC model, because we have already seen that BC model has been a success for the banks. And also this perpetual authorization also helps us in terms of ease of doing work. We don't have to periodically go for license renewals. So overall looks very positive, and this increase in scope is going to give a big boost to the business under AD2 category. Now quickly to the next slide, where we do a Q3 performance comparison. So you must have seen we have compared between Q3 result of this year and Q3 result of the previous year. You can see that at a PBT level, we have grown 66%. At the revenue level, we have grown 53%. When we compare Q3 result with Q2, there is obviously a drop because Q2 is high season and Q3 is where students' business are down. So against a 2.44 crores of PAT PBT last quarter, we have done a PBT of 56.66 lakhs this quarter. If you do a 9 months comparison, now revenue from operations for the 9 months period stands at 51.91 crores against 33.37 crores the previous year, which is a 56% increase. And at a PBT level, we are at 3.12 crores for the nine months period as against 41.32 for the same nine months period last year. So which is a 655% increase. So overall, you can say that we have grown. We have grown in all the segments, and also we have been able to do well in the strategic segments of students and corporates. So the next slide gives you the last 7 quarters results, and you must have seen that consistently we have been growing. In fact, quarter on quarter, you must have seen the growth. Of course, the spikes will be there on obviously Q2. But overall, if you see, we are on the trajectory of growth, and we hope to continue in the same manner. Coming to the charts, we have given you again a flavor of the quarter on quarter, how things have moved. And you can see very well that this year, we have really taken the growth to a next level, both in terms of gross revenue and net revenues. From a selling and general expenditure, admin expenditure, obviously there will be an increase because there is an increase in the business and in terms of commissions and other expenses, selling and marketing expenses. Now over to the next slide, we talk of the growth in our prepaid cards and outward remittances, which are the two major products for us. You can see from the base year, which we took when we got into standalone Forex activity, we have grown consistently after COVID, and now we are at an all-time high, which you can see 978% growth over the base year in terms of Q2 and 450% in Q3. Similarly, in the outward remittance also, we have grown by 545% from the base year and 329% in Q3. So overall, you can say we have now gone into a high trajectory of growth. Now coming back to the financial results, as I mentioned, revenue from operations is 17.18 crores, total revenue is 17.62 crores, expense stood at 17.06 crores, and we had a net profit of 56.66 crores. So this is about the financial results. And for the 9 months period, we stand at 3.12 crores of net profit, PBT. Now we come to the last slide where we talk of what is the strategic focus and plan for the company. We have been pretty consistent that we want to go digital and we have built solutions, and we are happy to say adoptions are also happening at a faster rate. So we have a platform for corporates, a platform for agents. We are also working on a solution for students. We are also working on Forex card issuance. So multiple areas we are working on, which we hope to, you know, scale up or launch in the next few quarters. The development of FXPs will also add to one of the growth areas for the company. And we can happily say, because of our investment in digital, we do have the capacity, capability, and the digital framework to expand through this FXC arrangement. So our idea is to be asset-light, scalable, efficient, you know, and build innovative Forex and payment tech products and bring value to the stakeholders. So with this, I come to the end of the presentation. I would like to thank everyone for their time. I would now like to hand over the conference to the moderator.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask questions, please press star and one. The first question is from the line of Aniket Gada, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is, receivable days is around 6 months. If you could explain the reasoning for it. The receivable days in the balance sheet is around 6 months. The receivables are like 35 crores, right?
Right.
So the receivable days would be around 6 months.
No. Receivables, all our receivables are less than 1 month old.
No, the total receivables amount is 35 crores, right, in the balance sheet, and the revenue for last 6 months, the previous two quarters was around 35 crores, if I'm not wrong.
No. You are mistaken. See, this 35, the revenue figure which you are looking at is the gross revenue figure. Okay, that is the margin of the company. Whereas when we do a transaction, it is the GTO figure, the gross total, the gross turnover amount. Say if I do a transaction with you worth 1 lakh rupees, I will make 1000 rupees in that. But the receivable will be 1 lakh rupees, right?
Okay.
So it is like that. So this is just less than, you know, generally our credit period is only 7 to 10 days and or maybe maximum between 7 to 15 days, which is for the big corporates, not for everyone. We mostly deal in cash and carry business. So there is hardly any debtors which is there, and all the debtors are less than 1 month old.
Got it. My second question is, what is the current working capital required to run the business and the working cycle in days?
See, working capital, at present we have sufficient working capital to run our existing business, because if you will see, there is no debt also which is used on this as on 31st December, as on 31st December. So working capital is somewhere in the range of 15 to 16 crores which is available with us. And we have all our credit facilities also, which are, you know, ODs which are available with us for against the FDs which we have created with the bank.
Oh, got it. Thank you.
Yeah, so that is also approximately 25 crores which is there with us.
So OD facilities are on 25 crores with the banks, right?
Yes.
Okay. My last question is, the company operates in like four FX segments, like wholesale, retail, corporate and student. If you could like let us know the segment-wise revenue breakup, if possible, for the nine-month period or this quarter.
So essentially, at a granular level, you can you know, drop a mail and we'll give you the details. But if you look at it, segment every quarter, now the segment revenues will change. Like, let us say, on an average, students business contribute roughly around 65% to 70% of the business. But during a particular quarter, it may go up to 80%. During a particular quarter, it may go to 60%. Because students is seasonal between Q2 and Q4, the student season peaks up. Q1 and Q3 is muted. So predominantly, wholesale is one we don't concentrate on. Long, nearly 2 years back, we in fact moved out of wholesale. We predominantly focus on retail, retail may student, and obviously now leisure, we have started focusing on with our D2C platform. Student and corporate has been the key segments for the company in the last 2 years. Now obviously retail also we are focusing more because travel has really gone up in the segment.
Do you have any tie-ups for retail or like it's just franchisee based model for that?
So essentially I'll tell you, we are predominantly, as of today, our business is a B2B business, where we are tied up with agents network across India, be it a travel agent, education consultant, education loan provider, etc., for sourcing the students or customers. Parallelly, we also now have started our having our D2C platform, where we are trying to get students and leisure customers directly online. But predominantly, it's direct marketing when it comes to corporate. It is a kind of an agent network when it comes to student and retail business.
Okay. Thanks a lot. That's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask questions at this time, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Lalit, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, everybody.
Yes.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
But my question is, in your presentation, you had mentioned that right now there is some issue with Canadian visa. So can you tell the present situation? How is the this issue going on? And what do you say in Q4?
So essentially, if you look at it, overall, if you look at it, obviously there has been various issues because of which there have been restrictions, or you know, in between visas are not getting issued. I think those are all resolved. But now there is obviously an overall cap on the number of visas, right? This is the latest news article we must have seen some time back, where, you know, maybe there may be a 35% drop in terms of number of visas getting issued is what we read in the newspapers, which obviously will have an impact on the business. But parallelly, you will also have to see that GIC is the Guarantee Income Certificate. When a student applies for student's visa, before that he has to remit some money to under GIC for getting his visa done. So that has been increased from 10,000 Canadian dollars to around 20,000 Canadian dollars, which is nearly doubled. Now, what happens is, yes, even though there may be a deficit in terms of number of students traveling, we feel the increase in fees and costs will more than offset the drop in terms of numbers. In parallel, we are also seeing now interest of students to go to Australia, France, etc., where, you know, as if opportunity, there is a, what do you call it, huge demand or a huge aspiration for Indians to go overseas and study. Now, obviously, if everyone cannot go to Canada, you may see they may go to U.S., they'll go to France, they'll go to Australia, they'll go to New Zealand. So we don't see the business going anywhere because we see the demand is very strong. We have seen some huge growth year-on-year in the student segment. From a Canadian perspective, yes, there will be a drop in the overall number of students, but more than from a business perspective, more than offset by the increase in GST remittance value.
So we can say that Q4 will be better.
See, it's always our Q2 and Q4 is always better than Q1 and Q3 because Q2 and Q4 are season for us.
Okay. Got it, sir. That's all from my side. Okay.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions, please press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. The next question is from Lalit, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Yes.
Can you tell the GTO amount in terms of rupee for this Q3 quarter?
GTO amount for, sorry?
In terms of rupee. You have mentioned in your chart the percentage, 450% increase, but in terms of rupee?
It is 1,223 crores.
Gotcha. Compared to 1,700 last quarter, this quarter was 1,220 crores.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay. And the commission we are getting on that GTO is the.
Comparison you were doing, 17 figure, which figure did you mention just now?
In Q2, the GTO was around 1,700 crores, no?
Yes. Around 1,800, right.
Around 1,800. So compared to that, this quarter was 1,200 crores.
Right.
And the margin, the percentage of our sharing was how much?
You are talking about the yield percentage, which is there.
Yield percentage, yeah, yeah, right.
So average yield percentage is around 0.7.
No.
Between 0.6-0.7.
So that was remained constant for this Q3 also?
Yes. It is more or less. I'm giving you the average only for 9 months.
We compare Q2 to Q3, then what is the percentage?
If you can give me these questions on email, it will be better because I will have month-wise figure at present. So I can then accordingly reply. I have given you the average of 9 months.
Okay. Okay, ma'am.
Yeah?
I'll email you. Okay.
Sure.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions, please press star and one. The next question is from Aniket Gadda, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. I wanted to ask how much of this revenue is a repeat revenue and how much is it for single first time, if it's possible to know?
No, I think that is in foreign exchange. I don't understand the question when you mean repeat revenue.
No, like repeat customers. I'm saying repeat customers who are using the app or your service for remittance. So.
Essentially, if you look at it, there is a, let's say, for a corporate. See, travelers are unique, right? Like this year, there is around, let's say, 4 lakh overall students traveling. So there is one thing about a new person traveling and taking foreign exchange. One thing about a person who has already taken his fees and again doing a repeat transaction with us, correct?
Yeah.
So in that sense, if you look at it, it will be very. We don't have the figures readily available as of now. We can always share you the data. But if you look at it, we can look at it from a corporate perspective. From a corporate perspective, what becomes very interesting to note is, once we acquire a corporate, it is always a repeat business. Whoever the employees which may be traveling, we will know from this corporate. Let's say we recently acquired a company called Accenture. We will know Accenture, say we will do this many lakhs of dollars a month, or we will do it from Siemens or something. So that we look at it from a repeat perspective, where the corporate ke liye, this is a repeat business, and the new addition we look at it. From a retail perspective, we always look at two parts. One is obviously the new agents which we acquire every quarter. Now, for us, any business from a existing agent is growth from that agent. So we always, one of the yardsticks for us to look at performance is how many new agents did we onboard and how many business we got from the new agents. That is the percentage which keeps on growing for us, and that is why business has grown over the last 2 years, you must have seen. But when you look at D2C, obviously repeat customers become important. Today, D2C is a small base for us, but we can happily tell you that we are having people who are coming to us multiple times. I've had customers who have done three, four, five transactions through the app repeatedly for us, and that is one area which is improving. But when it comes to B2B and corporate, we always look at onboarding of new agents or new corporates as new business. Any business coming from the existing agent or corporate, we consider as existing business, even though it might have grown.
Okay. So could you give me the number for the new agents that you've onboarded and corporates onboarded for the quarter?
For the quarter, we have onboarded around 67 new agents.
Pooja, can you hold on? See, there are certain information I cannot give on a public call. You can write it to us, and we will share, because these are all information which my competition will also be looking at, right?
So percentage figure would be okay, right? So percentage figure, not just the number of agents or corporates, just a percentage figure of increase.
So we will be sharing it with you. You just give us the details. We will share it to you over mail.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from Lalit, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, are you planning for any fundraising, as you mentioned in your previous con call?
So essentially, yes, there is a long-term idea to raise funds, because as you are aware, we have talked about getting into issuance of prepaid forex cards, et cetera. But last year, we have been talking to a few people, but nothing concrete as of now. We'll keep the investors updated as and whenever any development happens there.
Okay. And the last question, are you planning for giving some dividend to shareholder?
So we have started well in this year. For last three quarters, nearly seven quarters, we are profitable. But we will take a decision after the end of the Q4. The board will take a decision on that.
That is right. You have any accumulated deferred losses in your books right now after Q3?
Pooja?
What was the question?
How much is the accumulated losses in your balance sheet after this Q3?
Accumulated losses? No, it is not accumulated. Means there was a accumulated profit against which the accumulated losses got adjusted. So now if you see the figure in other equity in the balance sheet, it is 19.33 crore positive.
This quarter it comes to positive.
Yeah, this quarter it was positive itself, yes.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions, please press star and one. Well, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. N. Sri Krishna and Ms. Pooja Mishra for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you. I would like to thank everyone for joining us on this call, and it's a pleasure for us to keep you updated on what's happening in the company. If you have any specific queries, you can please visit our website or reach our company secretary. Once again, I thank everyone, and I would now request the moderator to conclude the call. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you very much. On behalf of WSFX Global Pay Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.
Thank you.